Please join me in prayer. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer.
Amen.
Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Alleluia, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
Our midweek Lenten special sermon series this year called you to lift up your eyes to the Bible's mountains. And so when hearing today's Old Testament reading, in which the divinely inspired prophet Isaiah speaks of the Lord's preparing a feast on this mountain, we might immediately wonder about which mountain Isaiah is speaking. We should guess Mount Zion, also called Mount Moriah, and associated with Calvary, Golgotha, and Jerusalem. And indeed, a few verses earlier, Isaiah had said that the Lord of hosts reigns on Mount Zion and in Jerusalem. And in today's Old Testament reading, the prophet who has been called a rap artist for his poetic alliteration and other sound play in the original Hebrew describes the consummation of history as the full enjoyment of blessedness in the perfected kingdom of God that comes on the day of the Lord. After describing a feast like no other feast, Isaiah says the Lord of hosts will swallow up death forever. And we realize that we participate in the Lord's victory over death by swallowing a different feast like no other feast. And so considering primarily today's Old Testament reading, this morning we direct our thoughts to the theme, swallowing death and life. Prominent in the Bible are feasts, mountains, and feasts on mountains. We remember the Lord's covenant with the people of Israel on Mount Sinai, sealed with a feast. We remember the Lord through the prophet Ezekiel's calling people to a great sacrificial feast on the mountains of Israel where they would eat flesh and blood. We remember the Lord Jesus' teaching about the kingdom of God as a royal wedding feast, and his instituting the new covenant with a feast on his body and blood in Jerusalem on Mount Zion. And we remember the revelation to St. John of the marriage supper of the Lamb and his blessed invited guests, apparently in the new Jerusalem that comes down out of heaven from God on Mount Zion, exalted above all the other mountains, which maybe were leveled or otherwise removed, as it were, perhaps into the sea. The verse after today's Old Testament reading similarly speaks of an opposing mountain being trampled down in connection with the feast like no other on Mount Zion. That feast may well be part covenantal feast, sacrificial feast, coronation feast, wedding feast, and perhaps especially victory feast. The victory feast on Mount Zion comes as the Lord forever swallows up the covering that is cast over all peoples, the veil that is spread over all nations, namely, death. Death's covering is cast over all the people of the Jews, and death's veil is spread over all the nations of the Gentiles. So either way, death affects you and me. Our friends and family and we ourselves suffer from death, in some sense facing physical graves. Ultimately, all such suffering as death itself is caused from sin. You and I are sinful by nature, and so we commit countless, sometimes unspeakable, sins, all of which deserve both temporal death and eternal punishment. Apart from the repentance and faith that gains admission to the Lord's victory feast, there is darkness and weeping and gnashing of teeth. But when enabled by God, we repent and believe, then we benefit from the Lord's swallowing up death, itself a great swallower. When we repent and believe, then we benefit from the Lord's taking away death, making it disappear, eliminating it, so that death itself dies. In today's Old Testament reading, Isaiah refers to the Lord in four different ways: the Lord of hosts, the Lord God, our God, and the Lord. And yet we know that the second person of the Holy Trinity, the Son of God, in particular, took on human flesh in the womb of the Virgin Mary and died on the cross in order to defeat death for all people, including us. We did not win the victory ourselves, but Jesus won it for us. As the hymn of the day put it, death is swallowed up by death. The Lord's swallowing up death forever by his death should not have been a surprise to anyone. For the victory over the devil and the sin and death that he brought about had been prophesied in the beginning. There was no instant gratification, but God's people long waited in faith for the sure and certain prophecies to be fulfilled. And those prophecies were fulfilled. Today's gospel reading tells us that he who was crucified rose. The gospel reading may not provide any eyewitnesses, but the epistle reading offers more than 500 eyewitnesses. And in that epistle reading, St. Paul emphasizes the gospel that Christ died for our sins and was raised on the third day, in accordance, arguably, with both the Old and New Testament scriptures, as he preached them then and as others preach them today, and so as we believe, teach, and confess in the creeds. Today's Old Testament reading is also selected as the Old Testament reading for my funeral, at least in part because of the reading's mention of fine food and beverage. You may know that during graduate school, I worked at a 5-star restaurant in Austin for nearly 5 years. And that during that time, I also had opportunities to feast on haute cuisine at top-rated restaurants in Chicago and New York City. And yet the feast described in today's Old Testament reading and the Holy Supper to which it prophetically points are still better than the best food and beverage that any amount of money could ever buy. Long before today's bone broth diet fad, today's Old Testament reading mentions rich food full of marrow, meat with extra marrow mixed in, healthy and desirable, so no worries about cholesterol. A delicacy for most people, as usually only royalty ate such meat. And as if God's portion of the sacrifice was being given to his people. And long before today's wine-making technology Today's Old Testament reading mentions well-aged wine, well-refined. Wine left on its fermented dregs to improve its strength and flavor, and then decanted and filtered so that the wine was served clear. Recently, I have said that if you want good bread and good wine, and maybe you can't even eat bread, or maybe you do not like wine, there are better places for it than here. But what makes the Holy Supper the best is not the bread and wine. But what makes the Holy Supper the best is that it is the food and drink of life. At this rail, the Lord's baptized and absolved guests swallow or take in life by swallowing him who swallowed up death and lives to give life. As we sang in the hymn of praise, this is the feast of victory for our Lord. In today's Old Testament reading, the Lord's feast is essentially parallel to his swallowing up death. And so we should not be surprised that this feast gives us life, not to mention salvation, by forgiving our sins. As Isaiah prophesied, different time frames merged together. As we who repent and believe are in Christ, we have the victory over death as our possession already now, even if we do not yet fully experience it until the last day. Then all people will be resurrected in their bodies, the unrepentant unbelievers to eternal torment, and the repentant believers to eternal life, glorified by their blessed vision of the Lord in his nearer presence. Then, as today's Old Testament reading describes, the Lord will wipe away tears from all faces, and the reproach of his people he will take away from the earth. And yet, already now, concerned for the pain and suffering of his people, the Lord himself stoops, as a mother might do for a child, to tenderly comfort us. For example, we who repent and believe and have had loved ones go before us in the faith are comforted already now, as in the Holy Supper, we join not only in worship with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, but we also are joined more intimately with them in the body of Christ that is both the church and the sacrament. A foretaste, the liturgy says in a number of places, of the feast to come. We have peace and joy already now, but then we will have peace and joy to the fullest. This morning we have considered primarily the Old Testament reading with the theme swallowing death and life. In one of the verses that follows today's epistle reading, the divinely inspired St. Paul freely renders today's Old Testament reading as saying, death is swallowed up in victory. Death may swallow up the living now, but the living one effectively has swallowed up death, and in swallowing him, we swallow life. We do not have to wait for the exalted Mount Zion of the last day. For today, this is our place of worship and the seat of God's presence. Then, without our afflictions, but even now, in our afflictions, we can, as Isaiah described, rejoice and be glad in his salvation. Amen.
Amen.
Alleluia, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. Amen.